will get to the Michael Thompson scandal, which is fascinating and we found hard evidence for. But first, Ireland last night, I gotta say, I wasn't surprised. I sort of teed up what I thought was going to happen during the show. I mean, I always root and I'm always, you know, positive, but I felt like last night was going to be a really tough night, and it was a disastrous. It was worse than I expected, John, in Utah.
Why?
I didn't expect them to be trailing by as many as 29 in that game. I thought they'd make it a ball game. I thought it would be a double-digit win for Utah, but not. They shouldn't have had a 29-point lead.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
Because
you expect them to show up and you expect them to be competitive.
What are you? Who do you think Anthony Davis is? Who do you think Dennis Schroeder is?
That.
What do you think happened last year when Golden State lost Klay and Steph? They finished
John,
with the worst record in the NBA.
This was an absolute wipeout.
Wait,
and
no,
I thought
okay.
there was. I thought there was some. There was a point where I didn't see the effort I would expect from a Lakers team last night.
From who?
Generally speaking, energy-wise. I don't want to call out anybody in particular. I'll tell you this much. I really thought that Kyle Kuzma was going to step up in the absence of Anthony Davis, and I don't think he really has.
All right, here's something that I don't think you're getting. And maybe it's not just you. Maybe it's everybody that is complaining about how bad the Lakers are and how they've lost four in a row. When you lose a player the caliber of Anthony Davis, and again, the best example of this is the Warriors last year. The Warriors went to five NBA finals in a row. Five.
Yes.
And when Steph and Klay got hurt at the same time, they still had Draymond and all the other guys, but they immediately sank to the absolute bottom of the league. They finished with the worst record in the NBA. Anthony Davis is on the same level as Steph
Agreed.
And Klay. So when you lose Anthony Davis, you go from a super team, which the Lakers are and which they were when they won the title last year, to an average team. And Utah's the best
less,
team in the NBA right now.
Less than an average team. Less than an average team.
Right, but Utah's the
They've
best
They've lost five
team
out of six. They're not even an average team right now, John. Let's be honest.
Right, but what do you
and
expect?
And it doesn't account for them shooting 29% from beyond the arc over this four-game stretch. It doesn't explain them going 8-for-30 last night. It doesn't explain the team that was shooting really, really well and we were amazed at to start the season all of a sudden falling apart from beyond the arc.
All right, why do you think that happens? Do you not get that when Anthony Davis is in the game, they have to double-team him? And when they do, Anthony Davis or LeBron's the same way, throws it to an open Kuzma, an open KCP,
but you
an
don't
open
think they're
Caruso.
Getting open? They're getting open looks.
What are you talking about?
They're
Did you
absolutely
even watch
getting,
the game?
They're getting open looks, John, and they're missing them.
I don't even think you watched the game.
Of what, course I watched the game.
What open looks are you talking about?
You think that none of those are open looks. When Utah laid off last night, and let's face it, there was a point at which Utah laid off. They were getting open looks, and they were not knocking those shots down.
I would say that when Anthony Davis and LeBron are on the court, either together or individually, it creates open shots for the other guys. You understand that, right? When they're not.
What's your attitude? You're treating me like a...
Because you're ranting and raving like Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder have been playing in these games.
I'm ranting and raving. I'm not ranting and raving. First of all, I understand that Anthony Davis is not there, but I expect them not to trail by as many as 29 points. I mean, Utah looks like the best team in the league right now.
I agree. So what do you think what happens when the best team in the league takes on a team that's missing their second and third leading scorers? Do you think that all
Do you
of a sudden,
expect them to lose every game from this point forward?
I expect them. They were favored in every game.
They're a below 500 team, I think, just looking at them, a below 500 team the rest of the way. Like, I think they probably go 1-4 over the next five, the last five games before the break.
I'll answer your question this way. I think they were going to be favored in every game when they had LeBron and AD. And now that they don't have AD, I think every game is a coin flip. I think it could go either way. For example, Portland coming in tomorrow night. Portland beat the Lakers with AD and LeBron at Staples Center.
Yeah, this is a loss.
So are you going to yell if Portland goes up by 29?
No, I'm expecting losses.
Okay, so I don't understand.
No. Last night demonstrated. I'm expecting losses. Like, I'm expecting it to be 5 losses in a row.
Okay.
I'm expecting them to lose to Phoenix.
Okay. So now let me ask you this.
I think they'll steal one of the next 5. Is that fair? Steal one of the next 5.
I think they only have 4 left. Am I misreading it? They have Portland.
Oh, last
Golden
night was
State,
the 5th, yeah.
Then so they have the back-to-back between Phoenix and Sacramento, right?
So they I think they beat Sacramento and go 1-3. Is that fair?
Sure. But wait, here's what I'm saying. So what? Do you want to declare when Anthony Davis comes back that they're not going to revert to what they were before?
There are obviously people that are worried. There are obviously people. All you got to do is check social media. There are obviously people that are concerned. There are obvious. In fact, Stephen A. Smith, go to Stephen A. Smith here, Jorge. This is what he said this morning on First Take about the Lakers.
Now, look at the Lakers last night. And the reason why I don't give them a pass, it's not just because the Jazz were making shots. It's how little resistance they pose. You know what? You can struggle without Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder offensively. What's the excuse defensively? This is a Frank Vogel defensively coached team. Frank Vogel knows a thing or two about coaching defense. That's why he got the head coaching job to begin with, even though he wasn't the Lakers' first choice, because of the job that he did in Indiana all of those years when they were trying to compete for an Eastern Conference crown against LeBron James and Dwayne Wade's Miami Heat. But in the end, I look at the Los Angeles Lakers. Just because Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder's not there doesn't mean that you're supposed to forget how to play defense. Stay in front of your man. Stay with your man. Not letting everybody have a damn layup line, for crying out loud. Or get wide open 3-point shots. Where's the defensive intensity? Where's the pride?
See, that's to my point. I don't see a lot of fight in this team right now.
I would argue that you and Stephen A. Smith are pot stirrers. You're just throwing stuff on the wall. Here's the point. Utah's been doing this to everybody in the 32 games that Utah has played this year. Okay, they've played 32 games.
Right.
They've had a 20-point lead in 20 of them.
Yes, they've won 22 of their last 24.
Right, but I'm saying they've had a 20-point lead. You said, I expect them not to be down by 29. They've done it 20 times. They've done it to 19 other teams. And so the Lakers, without their second and third best players, are supposed to be different. I mean, what's next? Because Schroeder and AD are out, you and Stephen A. Smith are going to say the Lakers aren't going to go back to the finals?
I love being lumped in with Stephen A. Smith, me and Stephen A. Smith. But
get Stephen
yes.
A. on the show. I think he's just throwing stuff out there. I'm watching every game, obviously. And what I'm saying is these guys are that important. Schroeder and Anthony Davis are that important. And let me get back to something you brought up earlier about Kuzma. You said you were expecting Kuzma to step up.
Yeah, I was expecting him to go for 20 every night. So last night he was terrible.
Here's what people don't think about. All right? When the Lakers are at full strength, look at the other teams. Very few teams play zone in the NBA. You can play it. Some teams have zones in their package, but very few teams play zone. So when the Lakers take on any other team, pick any team, last night was Utah, the other team's best defender takes LeBron. Their best big defender takes AD. And their third best defender takes Schroeder. Well, all of a sudden now, AD and Schroeder are out. So the second best defender is now guarding Kuzma. And the third best defender is now guarding Marc Gasol or Montrezl Harrell, or Talen Horton-Tucker. Let me ask you this. Why do you think Talen Horton-Tucker looked so good early, and now that AD has gone out, he's struggled? Because he moved up in the pecking order. Do people not understand that?
No, I think people understand that. I just think they expect to see more fight out of a team. They expect to see more fight.
Yeah, I think that
I'm with Stephen A. on this. I thought it was roll over and scratch my belly last night.
I think that's
I didn't think they were ever in the game, and I don't think they brought any defensive intensity.
I think that's incredibly unfair. Utah has been doing that to every team in the league. The Lakers were just the next guy in the schedule. Do you really think that if AD and Schroeder played in that game, that Utah would have gone up 29?
No, I don't.
Way.
I don't.
Well, so wait, so the fight automatically gets better if they
But I'm saying the group they have needs to fight. There needs to be more defensive intensity. I mean, Utah knocked down 22 triples last night. They were not running guys off the arc.
Mace, the game before that, they made 28. that the Lakers actually lowered the number of threes Utah made from the game before. Yeah, I mean, you're just picking on the Lakers because
Picking on the Lakers. You're just taking this position because you work for, you're an employee of the Lakers.
Well, here's the thing. They just won a title. You're acting like there's something wrong or something broken. They won a title. What is it? We're sitting here in February. They won a title 4 months ago.
Correct.
They lost four games in a row last year. Were you jumping off the bandwagon and claiming they had no fight last year?
No, but I never thought that I would see a team without fight, without defensive intensity, especially a Frank Vogel team. I expected them to lose. I said it yesterday, for all intents and purposes, I expected them to lose. I didn't expect them to lose this badly. And I felt like they obviously were never in the game. There wasn't a moment where they were competitive in that game.
Right.
And what I saw...
By the way, it was a one-point game at the end of the first quarter, so that's not true.
Okay, so they were in the game at the end of the first quarter. Then they got completely their doors blown off. The truth is, I didn't see fight. I didn't see defensive intensity. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that has that view. Now, obviously, it's not the same team without Dennis Schroeder, who hopefully will be back on Friday. It's clearly not the same team without Anthony Davis. There's no question about that. But, I mean, I think just judging from the last few games, I expect this team to play well under 500 until Anthony Davis gets back.
And my response to that is, does it matter? Do you care what seed they are? Do you care if they lose four out of the next five? I don't. I just want them to get their team healthy because I know when they're healthy that they are in every series and probably favored to win them all.
By
what are you
getting
all worked up about?
Jazz now, because I'm a sports talk show host and because that's what we do around here, Jazz now have the best net efficiency in the league. They've got a 9.9 net efficiency. Milwaukee is second, 7.9. Clippers next, 6.8. Phoenix, 5.4, and the Lakers, 5.1. So they're fifth best now in net efficiency.
And you're talking about them like they're 25th.
Well, frankly, over the last four games, they probably are 25th.
Well, last year, I just pulled it up. Last year in December, so it was a little earlier, but actually it's around the same time in the schedule, around 30 games in. All right? They lost to Indiana, Milwaukee, Denver, and the Clippers all in a row. Now they've lost four more games around. They may lose a couple more here before the All-Star break because they don't have AD. They regrouped right after those four losses and went on a 10-game winning streak because they got healthy. You can accuse them of not having fight, which I think is a ridiculous accusation. These guys are trying as hard as they can. But the fact remains, let's see what you say when they get AD and Schroeder back. Let's see if you're still calling them a team with no fight then. Let's see if you're saying that Frank Vogel is guilty of negligence.
I didn't say Frank Vogel was guilty of anything. I said
you said
Frank
that normally a Frank Vogel played, defensive team would play better than
right, them. And I don't think defense is a choice, and I don't think they chose it last night.
I don't think anybody's slowing that Utah team down right now. They've won 23 of 25 games. Where's the example of the team that is playing defense against Utah?
All right, if anybody, go ahead, 877-710-ESPN. Is anybody seeing what I'm seeing, or is John just homing it up to a degree that is ridiculous? And
I think the fair question is, you sound like you think that something's wrong with the Lakers and that they're broken. Is that a fair statement?
Well, they're broken at the moment.
Right. And my contention is, it's because two of their best three guys are hurt, and you, because you're a radio talk show host, are just ranting and raving and making crap up. They're fine. When they get Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder back, let's see you pick against them then. Let's see you talk about them losing four out of five then. It's easy to pick on them when they have two of their best guys out.
Wait a minute, I'm not.
You're a fair-weather fan.
Am I picking on them, or am I asking that there be defensive intensity?
And
possibly have watched the same game that I did. There was not defensive intensity last night. It's a choice, and I didn't see the choice made.
And my question to you in response to that would be, where's the team that's had defensive intensity against Utah? Show me that.
Okay. 877-710-ESPN. By the way, there is, and anybody that gets through on the phones gets a Mason and Ireland t-shirt today. So 877-710-ESPN. Also, an interesting idea floated by Kyrie Irving yesterday that is picking up some steam, and I want to bounce it off you, Ireland. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The very condescending.
The best part of that clip was, I'm not ranting and raving.
So I just watched The Jump, and Ramona Shelburne needs, like when I do those little looky promos I do every day, the video promos, I've got like a stick that I put my phone on so it's stable. Ramona just did an entire segment of The Jump holding her phone. It was shaking. It's not, her face is not centered, and she's clearly laying in bed.
I wonder if her dad is shooting her with the phone.
It's so shaky. It looks like she's holding
it
her
could
own
be,
phone.
It could be her dad. I know she's getting a lot of help from her parents since the back surgery. So maybe we can get Momo a gift. We'll find out when her birthday is and buy her a tripod.
Yeah, we need a tripod for Momo. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Set up right by the bed. 877-710-ESPN. I'll get to the logo thing coming up that I put in the Lookie promo. Let's see. Read you some sample tweets. Venice Mace listening to the show. Without AD, there's no defense because we can't funnel guys to Gasol. So there's a little bit on your side. Always has to be an a-hole in the bunch. That may be for me. No professional team should lose by that much, especially the defending champs. Venice Mace, on your side, in the long run, it won't matter that much, but Lakers should still bring that championship mentality on defense. Blah, blah, blah. Works for the Lakers. Not worried at all. So as long as they're healthy, come playoff time and maybe a pickup usable big, we're good. Ireland never speaks negative of the Lakers, blah, blah, blah. No team is supposed to win down two starters. There you go. Somebody called the Wambulance for Venice Mace. L.A. Ireland sounding like a real punk B.
What's a B?
Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. Unfortunately, Venice Mace isn't alone with the hot take. Yesterday afternoon, the afternoon show said the Lakers could go into the All-Star game losing all the breaks. Wow, Venice Mace about to drop an F-bomb. John's defending the Lakers is outright comical. Ireland is being very biased, not seeing what we're all seeing. That's a sample of tweets, so kind of all over the board on that one.
All right, I'm making a list. Hey, Lindsay, who's that wrestler that has the list?
Chris Jericho. He doesn't anymore, but he did.
Okay, so since he retired his list, I'm making a list. Mason, you're on the list. Stephen A. Smith is on the list.
Made the list!
Yes, I'm making a list of all the people who are giving up on the Lakers because they're down two starters and accusing them of not playing hard and don't know the difference between not having two of your best players and questioning effort. So
you've posed the straw man argument, which doesn't make sense. I think we all agree that when Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder are on the floor with the Lakers, it makes all the difference. But I also think it's fair to expect on those other nights until that time for that team to show up with defensive intensity. So don't say we're questioning what happens when AD comes back. We're questioning what's happening right now.
That's a fancy phrase that you've come up with when you're accusing guys of not playing hard. You're accusing them of dogging it. Lack of defensive intensity. You're saying they're not trying.
No, I'm saying there's a lack of defensive intensity. Right. How many times have we talked about this? The idea that defense is a choice. You can either play it hard or you don't play it hard.
So you're accusing him of not playing
it
hard.
I did not see fight in that team last night.
Yeah. Let's see what...
And clearly, I'm not the only one.
Let's see what Izzo in Valencia thinks. Hey, Izzo, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hello, hello. How are you going? Thank you for having me on. I just want to say that... LeBron James can't do it all by himself, and as you saw last night, there was times where he was throwing his hands up in the air not knowing what to do. They weren't running anybody off the three-point. You know that Utah just shot 28 three-pointers in one game. You gave them 50 three-pointers in two games. You couldn't run them off the three-point line. This whole thing about seeding doesn't matter. Seeding doesn't matter. It does matter. You don't want to face certain teams at the end of the season. We want a nice, you know, winning streak at the end of the season. And right now, what we're doing is we're not playing defense. We can't put everything in LeBron's hands. We can't expect these.
Okay, Izzo, let me ask you something about what you just said. You said there are certain teams you don't want to play. Like who?
Like, I don't want to see Utah in the first round. You know, I don't want to drop down that far to see Utah in the first
round. Do you think that's possible? You think the Lakers could drop to the 8?
No, I don't think they're going to drop to the 8, but I think Utah is also going to drop. I think L.A. is obviously going to be in the top 6, top 5, you know, when AD comes back and they start making that push. But I don't want to see certain teams in the first round.
Yeah, do you
want
to see – that's a really good point. Do you want to be the 6 and see the Clippers in the first round?
I heard.
No, I don't. I don't want to see the Clippers. The Clippers are super motivated right now. For some crazy reason, they're talking about Kawhi Leonard being in the MVP conversation. What the heck are you talking about, you know? Like, we shouldn't even have these conversations about L.A. teams and Utah teams and things like that. Last night, we couldn't run a rat off the three-point line.
Right, but Utah's Utah's doing that to everybody. Yeah, again, find me a team that Utah hasn't done that
to. Make sure Izzo gets a Mason and Ireland t-shirt, especially because he agrees with me.
Here's Michael in L.A. Hey, Michael, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, Michael.
I just wanted to give my take on all of this, and I totally agree with Mace. I think that I sense some sort of championship hangover here, man. Like, because even back when AD and Schroeder were in, like, we were kind of struggling against a few teams that we were supposed to be, you know, blowing out. So,
right.
I don't know if there's something going on, or maybe the absence of, like, you know, getting big up at the front, you know, with letting McGee and Howard
Dwight go. Yeah.
I don't know if, also another thing is, we were just talking like a month ago on how stacked the Lakers were, you know, how deep in the depth they were. And I mean, what's like, where's these guys? Like, these guys got to step it up, man. Like, you know, like we were talking about how deep we were. Like, why are we, like, complaining that AD's not here, Schroeder's not playing? Like, why are we complaining now?
Well,
like,
I mean, I'll actually take up on that. Thank you, and give him a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. I'll take up on that. I mean, it is difficult. I mean, particularly LeBron handles the ball a lot. When Dennis Schroeder is on the floor, he's able to handle the ball and run the offense as well. So they're clearly missing him, and he'll be back on Friday. And I don't worry long-term about the team for exactly the reason John's saying. I mean, Anthony Davis is a monster. Anthony Davis was my pick to win the MVP at the start of the season. That's probably not going to happen. I think it's going to be LeBron. I don't think LeBron has much of a chance right now with the group he's on the floor with. I mean, I think he ended up playing, what, 30 minutes or 31 minutes,
28.
I think, last night?
Yeah.
28 minutes, which was about the right amount since the game was not competitive. But I do agree, and I think a lot of Laker fans look at it and say, yeah, the much vaunted depth hasn't turned out to be as deep as we thought it was going to be. And there is, I mean, and I think all of us who are watching the game as fans, watching these games, are saying, you know what? The defensive intensity is not there.
It, you know, that guy said even before Anthony Davis got hurt.
Yeah, I didn't agree with that.
Even before Anthony Davis got hurt, they were 24-6.
Right,
I mean, how
right.
good do you want him to be? It just seems to me that people forget the Lakers lost 4 games in a row and 5 out of 6 last year. All right, so, and then they went on a long winning streak. So I think when they get their guys back, everybody will feel better about it. But, I agree with what you said earlier. Until those guys come back, they could lose to Portland. They could lose to Golden State. Mace, they lost to Golden State with LeBron and AD at Staples Center
earlier
in the season. Phoenix is one of the hottest teams in the league, and that's the next 3 games.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll go 1-3. 1-3 over this stretch.
The
I think
the
they'll beat Sacramento and lose the other 3.
The one you're picking them to win is the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, that's tough.
In Sacramento.
Yeah, so maybe they go 0-4 into the break.
Even if they do, I'm not worried, just because this is when I would worry. If Anthony Davis is, for some reason, can't come back.
Don't even say it.
Or
don't even say it.
The injury lingers.
Uh-uh.
Or something
don't
like
say
that.
This.
That is when I will come over to your side. But until then, my concern level is at a 1.
We are anticipating 100% healthy Anthony Davis at the All-Star break. After the All-Star break. Anticipating.
Well, did you look at the second half of the schedule came out yesterday?
Yeah.
Did you look at the first week?
No, I didn't.
Look at the first week during the break. And then we'll talk about it when we come back. You can make an argument that they can buy AD another week.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that when we come back. Plus, I'll get to that. We'll throw out that idea that was bouncing around the internet and is bouncing around the internet today. Kyrie suggested it last night, and I want to get people's take on it. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, what's going on? Oh, I had a bad night last night, John. Part of it was, the losing. So I got off my very, very strict eating plan. So I had a rough night.
So did you eat donuts?
No, I ate Popeyes. I am addicted to Popeyes.
You told me you ate Popeyes last weekend, both days.
I know. I'm so
into it.
And
last night was Wednesday. You only made it 2 more days and went back to Popeyes?
I ate 2 Popeyes Cajun chicken sandwiches. I think they've got the best chicken sandwich there is. Also.
And your weight is still staying down?
190-ish. 190-ish now, as opposed to 190 on the nose.
Okay.
A couple of bags of fries, and this is the one that gets embarrassing. I also had one of their Cajun flounder sandwiches. So I had 3 sandwiches and 2 bags of fries.
Sounds
which
healthy.
Must be about 5,000 calories.
You didn't get the beignets?
What's that?
You didn't get the beignets? I told you about the beignets.
Oh, the beignets. Yeah, I should have gotten the beignets for dessert. I didn't get them. I thought that would be too much. That's where I draw the line. I draw the line at beignets. So Ireland, this thing has been bouncing around, and I think it's interesting. Kyrie last night posted this on his Instagram page, suggesting that the NBA change its logo to a silhouette of Kobe Bryant. And Vanessa Bryant actually responded to it, saying she loves the idea. Here's exactly what the Instagram post says. It says it's got a picture of Kobe in the NBA logo. It says, gotta happen. I don't see how anyone disagrees. Black Kings built the league. That's what Kyrie Irving said. So do you think that Kobe Bryant should become the logo of the NBA?
Okay, I didn't know you were going to go here. I was going to bring this up in the scoop. So Jorge, stay with me here. I actually do think Kobe should be the logo of the NBA. And I know people are going to come back at me and they say, well, Jerry West is the logo. Why would you disrespect Jerry West? And I think that's one of the reasons Kyrie mentioned race in his post.
Yep.
Is that the league has been, for the most part, built on the shoulders of African Americans. They're taking nothing away from Jerry West.
No question.
But what won me over on this, I've been thinking about it for a while. I used to think that maybe Jordan should be the logo.
Sure.
And that was before Kobe passed away. And now that Kobe died tragically, I actually would support a movement to name Kobe. And the reason, Mace, is that I want you to listen to Jerry West. I pulled this from an appearance that Jerry West did on The Jump with Rachel Nichols back in 2017. So if you're one of those people that as soon as I said, yeah, make Kobe the logo, you said, oh, Ireland, what about Jerry West? You're being disrespected to Jerry West.
Yep.
Jerry West doesn't want to be the logo. Listen to what he told Rachel in 2017.
If they ever did an updated logo, there's someone in particular who should be on it?
You know, first of all, I wish that had never gotten out that logo. I do. Really.
Why? It's the best nickname ever,
really
by
do.
The way.
And I've said it more than once, and, you know, it's flattering if that's me, and I know it is me,
yes.
But it is flattering. And but to me, as I say, I played in the time when they first started to try to market the league. There were 5 people that they were going to consider. And I didn't find out about it until, well, the late commissioner told me about it, Walter Kennedy. And then, obviously, the New York Times had a big article about it. But, again, it's flattering, but it's also, I think, if I were the NBA, I would be embarrassed about it. I really would.
Why?
Because, I don't know. I just, as I say, I don't like to do anything to call attention to myself. When people say that, and when people say that, that's just not who I am, period.
Wow.
And if they would want to change it, I wish they would. In many ways, I wish they would.
Really?
Yes.
You'd like to see them change it?
I would,
And
yes.
Do you have a pick for who you would like to replace?
I would be, I would be biased. I'm not going
to
say.
You're allowed to be biased. He's
maybe
right
here. Maybe they could put their commissioner on there.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Adam Silver would look great.
How did we not think of that one? How did we not think of that?
All right, so Jerry doesn't want to be the logo anymore.
Right, right.
And if you're going
to... By the way, he's such a humble guy. He probably, as he said, never wanted to be the logo.
And by the way, when he said, I think the NBA should be embarrassed, the thing he didn't continue to say is because he's white. And he knows that all of his, the guys that he played with, Wilt, Elgin, the NBA is built, you know, Bill Russell was probably the greatest player of that generation. Mace, you saw how much the league was affected by the George Floyd killing this summer and
Absolutely. How
they adopted not necessarily the Black Lives Matter movement, but the Black Lives Matter phrase, that it means something to make it in this league when 80% of the guys are black. And there are guys like Sterling Brown, who even though they're NBA players, still were treated terribly by the police. So this is a very strong, passionate cause for the NBA that they are a black league, and that I think making Kobe the logo makes a lot of sense. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. I mean, Kobe is an iconic figure. And, you know, part of it is, you know, the way he passed. Part of it is the way we reviewed his entire career and looked at his entire career and studied his entire career after the tragedy. That I think that if you asked an NBA player right now, they would, and Kyrie is the one that suggested it, they would agree Kobe is the right guy to be the logo. Now, there are people, I tweeted this out, and a lot of people, not everybody agrees. A lot of people think, how could you make Kobe the logo and not Jordan the logo? And there's certainly an argument for that, and a somewhat logical argument for it. How would you respond to that?
Well, what if I came back at you with, instead of Jordan, why not Kareem?
Why not Kareem?
They both won 6 titles.
Yeah.
What's
weird is baseball's logo and it has been Harmon Killebrew since the beginning of time. And
See,
at
I
no
always
point,
thought it was Roberto Clemente.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's Harmon Killebrew, which feels kind of random to me. But it's never been changed. There's never been any talk of changing. Most people don't know it's Harmon Killebrew. So the difference is everybody knows it's Jerry West. In fact, his nickname is the logo. So we all know there's a focus on the logo in the NBA, not in Major League Baseball. But, John, I think you're absolutely right. 80% of the athletes in the NBA, of the players in the NBA, are black. The league was so much built on their shoulders. It seems more appropriate for an African-American superstar to become the logo of the league.
Right. And, I don't know if it'll happen. It's a pretty, think of how many places that logo appears. It'd be really hard to change
it. It would be.
But I would support it if that's what they did.
Yeah, and we can take some 877-710-ESPN. Do you agree with that? Should Kobe Bryant become the logo of the NBA? And the answer doesn't have to be yes. I mean, an awful lot of people, I put out a poll just a few minutes ago, should the NBA change their logo to a silhouette of Kobe? It's not a lot of votes so far, but it is, it's a sample size. 74% say yes, 26% say no. Now, if you did this poll in Chicago, it would be different. If you did it in New York, I think it would be different. But 74% of people, at least on my Twitter timeline, say yes, it should be a silhouette of Kobe. 877-710-ESPN. By the way, Dan Wyke is going to join us at the top of the hour. Always fun to goof around with him. Mesa in Ireland, 710-ESPN. Yeah, it was a rough night last night. Losing does that. I get very emotional.
You're blaming your food breakdown, your binging on Popeyes on the Lakers?
Yeah, I called. I immediately went to Postmates and said, "Love that chicken from Popeyes."
Did you say it in that voice? Because that would make it a better story.
Love that chicken from Popeyes. Jorge does. Jorge, you love Popeyes.
Oh, I do, man. I do.
Ugh. Mace, did you eat the Popeyes after the game that John said you didn't watch?
I ate the Popeyes after the game that John thinks I didn't watch.
I asked you if you watched it.
Did you even watch the game?
Correct. That's me asking you if you watched it.
What? Do you think I don't watch Laker games?
I think that if you think the Lakers played with no effort or intensity, that you didn't watch the game.
And, you know, a lot of people disagree.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So we were talking about this this idea of changing, and Kyrie put it out last night in an Instagram post, the idea of changing the NBA logo from Jerry West to a silhouette of Kobe Bryant. And I think it is an interesting idea, and it's worthy of discussion. Not everybody necessarily agrees with it, John.
Andy in San Pedro is online. Hey, Andy, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys, we go back to the San Diego days, and John knows me from working the gate at Angel Stadium when you're covering the Angels for KCAL in the late
90s. Way back when. Hi, Andy.
So I've got a perspective. I want to defend the greatness of Jerry West, first and foremost. You guys are about 10 years younger than me. I grew up watching him as a player. The man never missed a clutch shot. Unlike LeBron two nights ago, he would have never missed a free throw to win a game. His greatness, his defensive skill, averaging 44 points in the playoffs. And the most important thing of all this, nothing against Kobe. He is the most colorblind person. If we want to exemplify how this country should be, let's look at Jerry West, because he loved his African-American teammates or any other teammates, and he's given multiple chances and opportunities in his greatness of scouting and talent evaluation to be worthy of that title and that insignia.
Hey, Andy, you don't really think Jerry West never missed a free throw or never missed a game-winning shot,
John,
do you?
Every game that I watched on KCAL 9 or KTLA 5, he never missed it. Now, you guys can say that's far-fetched, but every time the game was on the line, whether it was a 70-footer against the Knicks or the All-Star game when Walt Frazier was in his face, the man was a demon. He grew up West Virginia poor, and he undervalues his greatness. I saw him play, and yeah, I'm biased. He's an all-time idol of mine. But his greatness is just not noticed here because there's not footage on it. I mean, I'm 63 years old. I saw it. I saw Chick and Lynn and Keith Erickson and Rod Hunterly, color commentators. I watched those games. He was great, great, great.
But you know that all these other guys are too. Kareem was great, and Russell was great, and Kobe was great, and Jordan was great. I mean,
sure.
Do you know how many titles Jerry won?
Why should we change a logo for a great player when you've already got a great player? And like I said, this country's never going to move forward if we're always looking black and white. I look at people as good or bad. And that's the way it should be.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, it's the idea that still we look at things through the prism of black and white. I mean, Michael will always go to race, but I think that's kind of a jokey thing he does. But the reality is we still have a long way to go in terms of race, in terms of systematic racism. All you have to do is look at the guy who's the coach in Minnesota who got passed over just last week.
Oh, the guy who was an assistant in Portland for all those years.
I think
yeah.
He's like the lead assistant, and they ended up skipping him.
Yeah, they didn't even interview him.
Didn't even interview him. I mean, the fact that, you know, we've got three minority coaches or four minority coaches in the entire NFL, there are still a long way to go. So you can say, I don't want to look at things in terms of black and white, but the world still, sadly, in a lot of ways, is black and white.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that you don't look in, you know, like I think Andy said, I don't look at the world in terms of black and white. The world is black and white. I mean, it's just that's a fact. Here's Kyle on line three. Hey, Kyle, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
How's it going, guys? Yeah,
good,
man, I think you absolutely need to change the logo.
I would do it, Kyle. I would change it. And I'm biased because I saw all of Kobe's games. But, yeah, you know, I heard one suggestion, Kyle, that we could change the name of the MVP trophy to the Kobe Bryant MVP trophy. The Bill Russell is already the finals MVP trophy.
Right.
His name's on that one. But Mace, Kobe only won one MVP his whole career.
Right.
You know, if you're going to change the name of the MVP trophy, you should change it to Jordan.
Who is named? Is there a name on the All-Star MVP trophy?
That's, for now, that's Kobe.
Oh, that's what it is now. Okay.
Yeah, they just changed
it. Oh, they just did change that. Yeah, you're right. Like they changed it last year.
But some people think that's not enough recognition, that changing the logo would be a better way to do it. Kyle, thanks for the phone call.
Thanks, man.
Here's Mark in New York. Mark, are you listening to us? You're in New York now, or you're from New York?
I'm in New York right now, guys. Listen every day.
Good. Awesome.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
So what do you think about this?
I think we're dealing with a false dichotomy here, guys, and nobody loves Kobe more than me. But I think you can keep Jerry West and easily do a silhouette of the signature moves from four or five different great players. And that way everybody is celebrated, and you honor the past and you move towards the future. I don't see why we can't. Everybody knows all these players' signature moves. I don't see why we can't just have all these guys in an image, Avenger-style poster.
Okay, so Mark, one of the main reasons why you have a logo in any company is so you can set up licensing deals and you can set up sponsorship deals. So you know if you see the NBA logo on a product or if you see the NBA logo on a video or in any walk of life, then you know the NBA has signed off on it. The issue you run into, and your idea is not ridiculous, you could do it. For example, the Postal Service does what you're suggesting. They have many, many different postage stamps that honor many, many different people. You could do it. But, Mace, the trick would be then it makes it easier for counterfeit things to exist. Does that make sense?
Yes,
because then all you got to do is copy one of Mark's logos rather than the one NBA logo that we all know.
Well, I thought he said something interesting, the idea of the Avengers. You know, nobody steals Thor, nobody steals Captain America, nobody steals, I'm blanking, Wanda, nobody steals Vision, nobody steals any of the Avengers, nobody steals Doctor Strange. They're all copyright protected, so it would certainly be possible to do a series of logos and to keep those copyright protected. That's an interesting idea because the debate, you know, you could argue Jordan should be on the NBA logo. You can argue, obviously we are, that Kobe can be on the NBA logo. You can argue that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar should be on the NBA logo. But why not create, you know, sort of a superheroes, Avenger-style, multiple logo situation for the NBA? I think that's actually a cool idea.
Yeah, I think that if I'm Adam Silver, the argument coming back would be, okay, where do we draw the line? In other words, Jordan, Kareem, Russell, Kobe, all logo worthy. Is Shaq?
Yeah, it's fair.
Okay, is Larry Bird?
Well, isn't it like getting into the Hall of Fame?
Right, is Hakeem? Well, they have a Hall of Fame. There's only 200 people in it.
But isn't it like the ultra Hall of Fame if you become the logo?
Right, but if you're going for this concept of yours, this multiple logo concept, how many are we going with? Are we going, could it be any Hall of Famer, one of 200? Are we limiting it at five? Are we limiting it to 10? See what I mean? You can't, it's hard to see where you would draw the line.
Yeah.
Who you would, that's why it's so hard coming up with like a top 10 greatest players of all time list, because whoever number 11 is a great player who got left out.
You know, the other thing is, and by the way, we'll break here because Dan Wyke is coming up from the LA Times. But the other thing is, I mentioned Harmon Killebrew is the Major League Baseball logo. Most people don't know that. the difference with the NBA is that everybody knows that's Jerry West. And even Jerry in the clip you played is saying, you know, he's such a humble guy. He wished people didn't know that he was the logo of the NBA. And he's uncomfortable to whatever degree as having the nickname of the logo. So there's a specificity to the NBA logo that doesn't exist in the Major League Baseball logo. I'm trying to think. The NFL doesn't have a player on its logo, right?
No, it's a shield.
It's a shield, right. Yeah, it's an interesting debate. And a lot of people agree. A lot of people disagree. It's running. I'm trying to see. The poll is running, and obviously we're in Los Angeles, and we're on my timeline, and I'm a Lakers fan. 77% say yes, 23% no on the idea of Kobe's silhouette becoming the NBA logo. All right, coming up next for you, Dan Wyke's going to join us. We'll get his take on all this stuff. And the scoop is coming up after that. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.